Counting down to Lean Berets. Fasten your seatbelts, comrades, or you'd better be holding on to something heavy like a Russian kettlebell, because you're about to enter the Lean Berets Throwdown Zone. This is Ron Jones with my parents today, Ron Sr. and Charlotte. The Lean Berets, and we are Avengers of Health. Hide the donuts. You're listening to the Lean Berets radio show at theleanberets.com. All right, we've got a great show here today. I started thinking about my own parents the last few months, and I thought it would be a good opportunity to have a show like we do in the Lean Berets, which is really seeking out people that have good, inspiring stories so other people can get some inspiration to exercise and eat better. There are a lot of shows out there now that are doing more technical interviews as one fitness expert interviews another, and those are great. I listen to some of those as well. But here at the Lean Berets, our thing is a little more focused, or actually quite a bit more focused to the general population. So if my dad, Ron Sr., on the show today, he's 71 years old, and my mom, Charlotte, is 69. So welcome to the Lean Berets.
Thank you. Hi.
Morning.
Morning.
This is where we throw down.
Yeah, we're ready to throw down.
So just some general background information. My mom retired a couple years ago, and she made a decision a few years back to kind of set the tone for an active retirement. And you guys have done some amazing things this just the last year on terms of the hiking. I think that the highlight would be going up to the top of Yosemite Falls.
That was a challenge.
Yeah. And Dad did it twice in 11 days.
Yeah, that about did me in, but I got up there and back.
Yeah. So, Mom, you were, you know, looking back at our childhood, we weren't some huge fitness type family. We were just kind of average folks, and those were the days before year-round sports, so I wasn't in sports year-round like the kids are today. You really got into this a little bit later on in life.
Well, I've been walking since I've been old enough to go around the block. So I've always enjoyed movement with my legs. Did a lot of roller skating when I was a child, and mainly walking. And so that has been a gift to me through all the years, and especially now that I'm a senior. When I was working, I continued to walk on each of my 15-minute break in the morning, 15-minute break in the afternoon. And then as soon as I would get home, I would put on my tennis shoes and just start walking around the neighborhood. I don't like to go to a gym and go through the traffic and all the stress of doing that. I just like to go right out my front door and find a safe path and walk 4 to 5 miles a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And then I do my other exercises of bridges for my back. It was difficult for me to walk over an hour because the small of my back would start aching. Mm-hmm. So our son, Ron, taught me the bridges, and I do that every other day. And that is what enabled me to go to the top, to the upper Yosemite Falls last early May, because the back was strengthened.
So what she's talking about, not to get too technical here, but those are the plank positions. I call them bridges. And the way I teach my clients and even my family is to hold those positions 30 seconds apiece. And, you know, people do those 2 or 3 times a week, and I think for the most part, those work really well. You were having problems bowling. I think that's how we originally got into it. That might have been our conversation when you hit your crossroads, too.
I've come a long way since I was probably 12, 13 years ago. I felt so weak in my body. I did not trust my body. Even though I had done the walking and I was not overweight, I just felt I was almost buying into the senior years of getting weaker. Mm-hmm. So I bought one of those black utility belts that you put around your waist so that I could go bowling. Mm-hmm. And I even bought a arm wrist contraption. And I was so embarrassed to wear it, I wore a blouse where it wouldn't show. I put the blouse over the belt. So when Ron, my son, found out that I was doing that, he said, "Oh my gosh, mother, throw that out. You weaker.
They need to go to Lean Braised Firing Squad." Except we didn't have the firing squad.
I still
then.
Got the belt. We didn't put it on a firing squad.
So I've gone from that point in time. He was right. I was able to bowl and strengthen my back and other ways. I've gone from that point in time to walking to the top of the upper Yosemite Falls.
Now, for those of you that don't know, that's thousands of feet tall. And the hike is rated for about 6 to 8 hours. And it's a vigorous hike.
It's 2,700 feet elevation gain.
Yeah, there's no tram up there. There's no road.
It's all rocks and boulders.
Yeah, you walk. There's a trail that was constructed, I think, back in the 30s.
1800s.
Oh, really?
1857. Yeah.
Oh, the original trail. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I did not anticipate all the boulders. I was kind of surprised. And then there were 6 water crossings, fairly deep because of the heavy snow melt,
mm-hmm.
that had not been there the year before.
Right, that can change.
Which, when you have to go up, you have to come down too. But we had our walking sticks. I would not have tried it without my walking sticks from L.L. Bean.
Yeah, the sticks are cool. It's like a Stairmaster, basically. It's a lot of stepping. Because if you haven't been up there, the trail is so steep, it's impossible to go up without a stair step type construction and a lot of switchbacks. So, you know, I've taken kids up there in corporate groups for years, and a fast hike, although you can do it under 5 hours. I mean, the more fit people are going to do it about 5 to 6 hours, and then, you know, general populations about 6 to 8. So you guys got up there fine and down, and that was quite a view, and we'll put some pictures up on the webpage of you guys up on the summit to prove it. But let's talk a minute about what you went through the last few years of your employment. You worked for a county here in California. And
yes.
You, even though you were one of the older people in the office, you were the fittest, which I thought was interesting hearing those stories. Because what we're talking about now is a physical culture, a lack of it. In America, people are so deprogrammed to be physically active and healthy, and they just see, for the most part, sedentary behavior as being the norm, and it's really not supposed to be that way.
The food at the potlucks was so unhealthy,
mm-hmm.
and I just did not participate. I got rejected a lot because of it, teased,
mm-hmm.
almost mocked, but I held my ground. And at the end, I worked at my employment for 12 years in that particular facility. I had finally planted some seeds. They were starting to have fruit bowls and
mm-hmm.
fruit choices. And then they would say, with affection, "Don't offer a donut to Charlotte because she will not eat it."
I did donuts to go to the firing squad.
But I saw the county workers just like sheep, just whenever the food was put out that was unhealthy, they would just go to it and just started mindlessly eating. And I would say, "Did you check the calories and the fat content on that label, if they happen to be labeled?" And they would just say they didn't care. And I saw so much loss of productivity because of unhealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a lot of sleepiness within 30 minutes after they had grazed on all the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
They were just not productive.
There's a concept or an issue today in corporate America called presenteeism, and people know what absenteeism is. You've got somebody sick and they don't show up for work. But a larger problem today is presenteeism, where you have people propped up on drugs and whatever, and they're able to get to work.
Yes.
But when they're at work, they're not productive. And those people are costing America more money than the people actually missing work. Because
yes.
if somebody's gone, you can have somebody else, hopefully, that's more productive or get a temp to come in and do the work. But if somebody's sitting in the spot and they're not doing anything, it really takes the company down. They're soaking up the salary, the benefits, and they're not really doing much.
I think they need to get out of the box and just be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
that if somebody does something different that's healthy,
mm-hmm.
just to have that be an encouragement. I think people have basically given up and their peers reinforce it. So if one person, I think, can make a difference
mm-hmm.
for a healthier mindset.
Yeah, and you stayed the course. I mean, that's the thing. You're doing something different. You're often misunderstood or ridiculed. I mean, Jack Elaine told me that years ago when I interviewed him. He's been called every name in the book, and I think he's 5'4". He said he'd be over 6 feet tall if he hadn't been beaten down so much. So I always feel like I'm in good company when I take all these shots. You know, I must be doing something right because there are too many people that think it's wrong. You know, but it's radically different to exercise on a daily basis and eat with any kind of reason in this country. When you look at the atrocious food and the obesity things going on. Talk to Dad a minute. Now, Dad's been on, you guys have both been on a lot of my corporate hikes I do, but Dad, you've been on a lot of hikes and you've left people in the dust half your age.
Yeah. Fortunately, because of your training. No, I've always been active in, not so much sports in high school. I played a little bit of basketball and baseball, but I've always hunted and fished,
mm-hmm.
done a lot of climbing in the mountains, chasing quail and
mm-hmm.
going deer hunting,
mm-hmm.
fished a lot of trails. I don't go to the easy trails. I like to get off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a grandfather that was a farmer, and so he'd take me out with him when I was a young boy. And he worked hard from sun up to sun down and then run a service station after the sun went down and quit farming. And he run a station
mm-hmm.
out on the old 99 highway around Bakersfield, California.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked till midnight, and then he had a bell in the service station. If somebody come in and ding the bell, he'd get up and go fix their tire or take care of their car. So I always had a good work ethic, hard worker. My grandmother ran a restaurant for 15 years during World War II, and she worked, raised 7 kids, and then run a restaurant all day and half the night.
Well, it's a good point because people just, they don't do much today. Technology has driven us into the chair. And even with me, and I sit a lot in my car and at meetings and doing a lot of computer work. So the daily 30-30, as we call it in the Lean Berets, is not just an option, I think. It's really something mandatory that people need to start thinking about doing at least 5 or 6 days a week, maybe not 30 days in a row like the challenge is to get you kickstarted. But that daily activity is really important.
Yeah.
Just well, doesn't have to be fancy, you know.
Yeah, I do my warm-ups every morning, and I don't walk as frequent as your mother, but sometimes I'll take a 6 or 7 mile walk. I try to do that at least once a week.
Yeah.
And try to walk with her on one of her walks, which is 2 or 3 miles. But I got the 30-30 challenge coming up January 1st, so
yeah.
I'm gonna set it up for 5 miles a day.
Good.
And keep it going on that, because I got to get ready for Yosemite again in May.
Yeah, we got our date. Going to take another corporate group back. So you've done a number of hikes, but one of the interesting stories I think we need to tell, especially for people that are over 50 and they're lamenting about how poor condition they are, here's what can happen when you have a little bit of basic fitness. You guys went to Washington, D.C. recently. Actually, you've been there a couple times. And you saw a lot more just because of your fitness. I remember you called me and thank me because you were getting to experience
yes.
more in yeah. your vacation just because of your fitness level yes. alone.
Yeah, we did all walking to everything. We never rode the tour bus.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked, what, about 8 or 9 miles a day?
Yes.
And we walked everywhere in Washington. We'd see it. We had the map planned out where we could walk from building to building. And we said, oh, let's go there. So then we'd walk 3 miles across the mall and go down the other end. But we walked and we saw everything. Took 2 years. We seen everything we wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
But we walked everywhere both years. One day we took a cab when we came out of Supreme Court and the water was up to our ankles getting in the cab at the curb. We figured we better take a ride. But then we got out an hour later and we walked back to the subway to take the tram back to the hotel.
And we went in October of 2009 and October of this year because the weather was perfect to walk. It was shirt sleeve weather, basically.
Yeah.
And so we had the opportunity to walk because it was not extreme weather.
Can you mention the reactions of some of your friends? Because they encourage you to take the bus and take the the subway and take this and take that. And you told him you didn't want to. And that was an interesting comment.
One senior says, well, are you aware that you could have taken the bus and just dropped you off here and there? And I told her we purposely walked because we wanted to walk. Mm-hmm. We do have a retired couple friend who are not physically able to do that much walking. So if we ever meet them there, we would take the bus with them because of their limitations. But as long as you can physically are able to walk, there's no reason not to.
This reminds me of our trips to Disneyland. We used to go every year. Dad worked for the bank. We had a special rate.
Yes.
I think it was in October every year.
It's usually in the fall.
Yeah. And you know, I've been to Disneyland recently a couple of times the last few years, and I've noticed all the people in the electric scooters. And what's really alarming now is one of my clients told me he went recently, and their whole family's renting these scooters.
Oh, my goodness.
Able-bodied people, parents, adults, so supposedly responsible, modeling sedentary behavior to their children and teaching them to sit on their fat butt and not do anything. But I think in terms of mobility and speed, if we were on a scooter in Disneyland, it would have been like you trying to ride the bus everywhere in D.C. You would have seen half. I mean, there's no way people on those scooters can cover as much ground as we did. We sprinted from one ride to the next.
Run around up there.
And you guys were right with us step by step. And, you know, when I had taken the twins, I mean, we're just all over the place. So it's just sad. I think people today, their lack of fitness has limited their experiences in life more than they even realize.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be that way, because at 69 and 71, you guys are, you know, hiking up to the top of the Upper Falls in Yosemite. And we went to Pinnacles National Monument, and you're doing a lot of things actively.
Well, as you told me several years ago, and I've always walked, as I said, but you said, Mom, if you don't exercise more, you're going to deteriorate. And I said to myself, that's very harsh. And I slept on it. I went to bed that night, and the first thing that came out of my mind the next morning was, if you don't exercise more, you're going to deteriorate. And I said to myself, he was right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need the harsh truth.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, I kicked it up a notch, and that's when I started walking basically 5 miles a day, 7 days a week.
That was that Jack LaLanne influence.
Yeah. Because
that was about the time I was really researching him a lot, and I interviewed him. And so I was really gung-ho on the butt-kicking part.
I used to watch Jack LaLanne when he was on TV in L.A. when he first came out.
Yeah.
Little 14-inch black and white Emerson TV. He had his little jumpsuit on and his dog sitting there and doing all them chair exercises.
Mm-hmm.
He'd do everything in a chair. And people would be standing there with a chair and following him. And that was back, that must have been 1949, 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And then saw him all his career, and then he got off. And then every now and then he'd do a special event.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he pulled a boat with his teeth all the way to Catalina?
Yeah.
You know, he was only about 60, I think, celebrating his 60th birthday or his 50th.
Yeah.
But when I went to my 50-year class reunion a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
And I looked around and told your mother, I said, you know, I don't think there's two people here that could follow you and I on an easy hike down at Valencia, which is only 4 miles.
Right.
So I saw one guy that might have kept up with me getting to Yosemite Falls.
Hmm.
The rest of them wouldn't even make it out to the parking lot.
It's amazing today how unfit people are. I see people struggle just to go from their desk to their car.
It's sad.
It's sad.
And it's unnecessary.
Well, and it needs to change, or we're not going to make it.
Well, it's never too late. I think God created our bodies to be very restorative, and we have to do our part to help that along.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we put into our bodies as far as our food choices is very important on a daily basis, including the exercise.
Yeah,
I am a 9-year, almost 10-year cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of cancer in my family, and I marked it in my mind that if I did get cancer, I had to have a healthy body to fight it off. So my immune system did take over. I had a grade 1 endometrial cancer, which I caught early.
Mm-hmm.
so I didn't have to have any chemo or radiation. But in 6 weeks, I was back to work full time and continued my time with the county until I retired after 12 years of service. So I don't think anybody should say it's too late. It's never too late because the body's restorative.
Yeah, it's one of Jack Lane's things too. And it doesn't have to be fancy. I think he set a good example that, you know, it could be very simple things on a regular basis and you can stay pretty fit. He, of course, he was really big into, still is, the healthy eating and nutrition, which we talk about here in Lean Berets. That's more Kevin Rail's thing. He's kind of taken off with that. Today, we're a little more focused on the fitness, although the comments you made about the county and just how people, they tend to graze like sheep or cattle. They don't really think about what comes in and they just start eating mindlessly.
It is the mindless part of it that was so disturbing to me. Just standing at the food bar and mindlessly eating.
People need to engage mentally and think about what they're eating and what the effects of that food are going to be.
Well, we noticed that at our church, at Sunday school, everybody's bringing a big old 3 dozen donut box to the Sunday school class, and they bring in food, and they start focusing more on the food and studying the Word. They bring all this stuff, and they used to get after us. Said, "Well, come on, you want some of this omelet over there? We got these coffee cakes." And no, we've had breakfast. We had our oatmeal and orange juice. We don't need anything. Oh, have a donut. No, I only eat donuts once a year on a special occasion when I go fishing.
Yeah,
have a donut.
Moderation, which is one of the, we don't get into the religious aspects in Lean Berets, but today's a little bit of an exception. I wanted to talk a little bit because we've had these conversations a lot over the years about just a lot of the Christian people, you know, not really modeling a proper witness, just with their lack of fitness and morbid obesity. And I gave you an article about muscular Christianity a couple months ago that was related to the history of the Indian clubs. And for those of you that don't know what Indian clubs are, they look like small bowling pins, and their fitness tools originally came out of the martial arts thing about 5,000 years ago in India and Persia. But in America, in the mid to late 1800s through the early 1930s, probably late 1930s, they were really, really popular. They were in the YMCAs, the military academies, the schools, and they had a big part in the Christian churches in America. And back then, the article, it's only a one-page article. I'll have to hook it up on your page when we put the show up from today. But basically, the Christian churches at the time in the early 1900s felt like to be a proper witness for others, they needed to have a certain level of not just moderate fitness, but actually vigorous fitness, muscular fitness.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what happened along the way.
Donuts came in.
But we're far from that today in the churches that I've seen.
Well, the churches, you know, they don't teach all of the sins because they always talk about the bad sins, you know, murder, adultery, and different things like that. But gluttony is a sin that Jesus really mentioned hard in the scriptures. He said your body represents the temple and you got to take care of your body. And what you put into it has got to be good food, as well as what you put in your mind has got to be good words. So when a pastor comes up and I mentioned it, getting a little bit overweight, he just laughed. He said, "Well, I've always been fat." Well, the Bible says when you're sin and you laugh at it, your prayers aren't answered. Now he's battling blood clots. He's on a cane. He's only about 55 years old. He's probably 400 pounds. He's been in the hospital with the life-threatening clot about 6 months ago. Told him to lose weight. Think he's gained weight. We got several pastors, the leaders that are like that. So they're not following what they're teaching.
That's all across America.
Yeah, and that's just one church out of millions. But we, when you started this obesity observation about 3 or 4 years ago and you did a show and then you went back to Washington and you got on Neil Cavado's show and it was about that. Well, your mother and I started looking around, you know, seeing the obesity. My gosh, it blows your mind. I mean, you look and it's just amazing everywhere you look. I watch a television show and they pan down the audience and here's all these 350 pound. I mean, there might be six of them in a row. And everywhere we look, it's just obesity. I went to the hospital to visit your mom when she had a little minor surgery a few years ago. Went down to the lunchroom, and first five people that walked in were nurses, and they were all at least 300 plus pounds.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, just rampant. I mean, obesity in Kern County, I think, is the highest county almost in the nation.
Yeah. I think people should weigh on the scales every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And look in the mirror.
Yeah, but the mirror is a good
That
good
is fact. A truth that is doable as far as, oh, I've gained a pound or two and I need to cut back right now. But to wait, you know, a year to weigh and is not realistic.
Most people don't have a line in the sand. If you ask where that line is, they don't cross. They don't have one. And so they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Right. I know my line, it's about 170 pounds. You know, and if I cross that line, then I get control of myself. So I'm not gonna fluctuate more than 3 to 5 pounds ever, you know, unless I'm adding muscle from lifting a lot, which I don't lift that heavy anymore. So,
well, I have a friend that's a good friend from high school, and we reconnected after our 50th anniversary, and he wasn't heavy in school.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went up to meet him at lunch before I saw him, he said, well, just look for the fat guy in the back of the cafe. So I thought he might be 180 pounds, 200. Guy walked in, he must have been 260 pounds. I mean, I couldn't even get my arms halfway around his waist, give him a hug.
And that's common.
Yeah. And he said, you know, he said, Ron, and he's a Christian. He said, I did it to myself. He said, I lived in Louisiana with all that lobsters and steaks, and I work for the oil fields. I'm a geologist, and all these people bought me these meals, so it was free. He said, I just ate that fat food for 30 years. He said, now I got diabetes. I've had a valve put in my heart. I've got edema in my legs. I'm getting a colon possibility of cancer. Might have to have a colostomy bag. He said, I don't blame anybody but me. He said, I didn't look in the mirror and I didn't watch the scales. He said, now it's almost too late to do anything about it.
So I asked him if he had forgiven himself. And he looked startled when I said that. And then he said, yes, he had. I don't know if I believed what he said. But if he keeps that unforgiveness of himself inside, it's like sabotaging and not being able to move forward.
Well, it doesn't have to be that way, and it's... not that we're trying to be mean here at the Lean Berets, but we got to call it like it is, and it's straight up no BS. I'll say that on behalf of Kevin Rail, who's not here today, and all the other Lean Berets. And we really have to move on this soon, not later, especially with our kids today. Do you have anything else you want to mention about your journey the last few years and being active?
Well, our next trip is to go see the Amish people in Pennsylvania. I'd like to do that for my 70th birthday in September. And we just continue to each year plan more trips because we are mobile. And I want to say that exercise and fitness give you more options in life, whether you're young or older. And I think it does extend one's life. I mean, we're all living a fallen world and we're all going to die from something. But I want to be... on the move and able-bodied until it's time for me to go to heaven.
That brings up another point. No, we know being healthy will save you money, but it's actually can save you money on vacations because you can do some active vacations for a lot cheaper, like going to Yosemite and hiking up to the falls and doing hiking. I mean, once you have your gear, I mean, it's fairly inexpensive versus, you know, going to a fancy hotel and eating all these fancy meals and...
Well, we never have wanted to go on a cruise because they tell you to plan on gaining 10 pounds because that's all you do pretty much is eat.
Right.
I know there's fitness activities there on the ships, but that just never has appealed to us. We would rather be out and about and walking and learning and educating ourselves on different scenic places in the United States.
Now, I've got an interesting memory. Thinking it's thank goodness for electronic because our first hike was totally unplanned. We were out in Utah, close to Moab.
Mm-hmm.
We just thought, well, we'll go out to Arches National Park. So mm-hmm. we get out and, you know, you can drive and
mm-hmm.
see all the deals. We parked in one place and there was a hike about 0.3 mile. We'll hike up to this little arch. So we hiked up there and it was kind of warm that day. Then we drove on down the road and it was about noon and they had the Delicate Arches.
Mm-hmm.
I told your mother, I said, well, let's hike out there. It's only 3.5 miles. She said, okay. So we had a couple of water bottles each, these mm-hmm. waste water bottles, had about a quart of water in it. So we got going. We got about halfway up there, and she sat down. She said, I can't go on any further.
This was my first hike.
First hike. It was like 85 and humid. I said, all right, I'm going to call the coach, RJ. So I got on the cell phone, and I called you. I said, here, talk to your mom. She's hit the wall. So he got on the phone. He gave her a pep talk, and we made it all the way to the Arches. And this couple come up and said, man, I'm impressed by you guys. I said, how old are you? He said, mm-hmm. I don't want to be offensive. Mm-hmm. I said, ah, we're 69 and 67. He said, man, I'm impressed.
Mm.
And he said, you got to be the oldest ones up here. And we looked around, and everybody's probably in their 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
So that was, and we weren't prepared to hike. We hadn't practiced. We hadn't, you know, trained. We didn't have, well, we had enough water. I give my your mother one of my bottles, so she had enough water to get.
Well, it was hot, and I lose my physical strength when I get too warm. Mm-hmm. So we started out on the wrong foot, as it turned out. But I do much better when it's colder mm-hmm. to walk.
You know, Big Ron, I've interviewed him on the Lean Braze. He's 350 pounds. He used to be 620, so he's lost a lot of weight. But he went up to 12,000 feet of Mount Whitney.
Did he really?
Wow.
To the base camp, and he wasn't expecting that either. He had shorts on and tennis shoes and a bottled water in each hand from the store, and he was passing fit people all the way up the trail.
That's yeah. amazing.
Yeah, and then they came back down in the same day. They didn't go up to the summit, but, you know, that's really high. It's 12,000 yeah. feet, I think. So it's yeah. amazing what people can do when they put their mind to it.
Well, that's a challenge you and I have yet to face, to do Mount Whitney.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
But I got
to
do it before I'm 75.
A lot of people get the altitude sickness up there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing that he did not experience that.
Yeah, he said he was fine. And they just happened to have a couple extra permits. Somebody canceled. So, well, this has been a nice show. I hope it encourages not just people your age, but even people my age and or, you know, younger kids in high school. Because if they don't change their lifestyles and start thinking very differently, which is, you know, I shouldn't grow up sedentary or obese because I'll probably get diabetes and heart disease, they're going to be facing a much different future.
It's never too late.
Yes. So thanks for coming on the show today.
Okay.
Appreciate
you're
it.
Welcome. Pleasure. Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to the Lean Braze radio show at theleanbraze.com. Metal Blues today provided by Stanley J. Tucker and Calcaneus. Until next time, keep rocking health and fitness America and have an active senior age.